provides guidance on managing taxes while working across borders. Something very complex. I'm an American. I know. I'm sorry. Our next speaker works in tax and financial advisory, focusing on a unique challenge faced by digital nomads and remote professionals. His topics are taxes for the digital nomads and debunking the myths. Please welcome speaker Steph von Eisenbeck.
Lighten up when you hear the word taxes, so that's great. When I speak to people and the topic comes up, what do I do for a living, and I say, yeah, I manage taxes, then I get two types of reactions. Some people are intrigued because it's, I guess, not your typical digital nomad job, and other people, they just run off, they don't want to deal with me. So I think most of you remain seated, so that's a good start. Now, the reality, whether you like taxes or not, the reality is we all have to deal with it, right? There's debt and taxes are the two certainties in our lives. But maybe before we dive deeper, I also want to like change the perspective a little bit about taxes. Because when I speak to nomads or people in general, they will mostly tell me like, oh, my biggest expense is like accommodation, flight tickets. Definitely now oil prices are going up. But I'm quite sure that for the most of you in the room here, your biggest expense are actually taxes. So I think it's very important to maybe take that look toward taxes, because that also in the past I used to work with like multinational corporations, and they basically look at it like that. They have a cost for employees, they have a cost for materials, and they have a tax cost. So maybe we also need to like embody that kind of view of taxation, especially being a nomad. There's a little bit more flexibility what you can do regarding your taxation, but we'll come to that in a moment. Now, before we go deeper, you know the drill. We're talking about taxes, legal stuff, just like finance before. We're just gonna talk about general principles. This is like not specific advice, but I guess you guys know that. Now, before we actually dive deeper, I also maybe want to tell you a little bit about myself. Why? I don't think I'm a narcissist, at least I hope not, but I think when you come to like a presentation like this, when you read a book, when you listen to a podcast, it's always important to understand like the person you're listening to, like where does he come from? Does he know a little bit about the topic that he's talking about? Because I could tell you a little bit about AI, I could tell you a little bit about marketing, because I have to do all of that for my business. But I'm for sure not as qualified as all the other amazing speakers we already had today and yesterday. So if you want advice on that, go to those people. But I do like to think I know a little bit about taxes. The reason being that like from like education perspective, I basically studied law with a focus on tax law in Belgium, as well as in South Africa, so my first international experience. And for almost 10 years now, I've been working in the field. First more with international consulting companies, the big four, as they call it, for those of you who know it. And maybe also more specifically, I'm a nomad as well, like I guess most people in the room. Why is that, I think, interesting for this topic is because I'm not those like lawyers or advisor like in an ivory tower who don't really know what's really going on, like if you travel and work like a nomad. Now, enough about myself. I want to guide you to like a few tax myths, like a few topics that I think are important, which comes up like when nomads talk about taxes. I'm not gonna go into like all the details. I'm not gonna bore you with any like tax code articles, so you don't have to worry about that. But the first statement I basically want to discuss with you guys is, if I'm a tax resident nowhere, I have to pay taxes in my home country. Maybe give me some hands who thinks that's right. Okay, few people. To be honest, this was a little bit of a trick question because it depends where you're from. If you're, for example, from the US, or if you're from Eritrea, I didn't meet many nomads from Eritrea yet, but if you're from one of those countries, it doesn't really matter where in the world you're spending your time or where you are, you always have to pay taxes in your home country. Now, luckily for people from all the other countries, that's not necessarily the case. You could basically pick up your things, move out of country, there's a few nuances to it, and basically stop paying taxes in your home country. Now, some of you might know it's not as easy as that, but there are some remarks in that respect. But it's basically possible that you say, look, I don't really spend time in my country anymore. I don't really have any connections to it anymore. So I basically want to leave this place and I want to stop paying taxes. And of course, the benefit that we have as nomads is that to a certain extent, we're already doing that because we don't have that traditional lifestyle whereby we're living like 10 to 11 months in one country. If that's your life, you probably have to stick with paying taxes in that particular country. But we as nomads, we spend a few months here, a few months there, which brings a lot of opportunity also from a tax perspective, apart from the lifestyle and other nice elements, of course. Which basically also brings me to the next topic. And this is probably the most heard sentence like amongst nomads, and also what I hear a lot from my clients and when I speak to people is that like, I avoid tax residency if I don't spend more than 183 days in any country, basically 6 months. And I totally get where it comes from. The reason is that most countries, they will have somewhere in their tax code saying that like, okay, if you spend the majority of the year here, around 183 days, you owe us taxes, as simple as that. Now, just turning that statement around, it's not as easy as that. Why? Because many countries, they also basically say that if you have other connections with the country, you could actually be deemed a tax resident. For most Western countries out there, and I think most nomads still come from a Western country originally, it's actually the opposite. They focus way more on those connections you have with a country. Like, do you have a partner living there? Do you have kids there? Well, kids, we ruled out in the presentation. But like, do you have maybe a house there, whether you own it or you rent it? Is your business registered there? Do you have a vehicle registered there? Do you have some social memberships? All those things are like basically elements that tax authorities can take into account to basically say, okay, it's very nice that you spent some time abroad, but it seems like this is still like your home place. Maybe not your home place for the majority of the year, but from a connection point of view, this is your home place. So we're basically gonna ask you to pay taxes. Now, again, here as nomads, I think we're also a little bit in an advantageous advantageous position. Why? Because of course, you could maybe organize your life to try to create those connections with a country which suits you better from a tax perspective. So maybe you move your business somewhere. Maybe you rent your home place somewhere in a country with lower taxes. Maybe you buy your vehicle there instead of any other country. So it also gives opportunities again for like us nomads to basically plan your life and to like organize your taxes in a proper way or a more efficient way. So what if I end up being, or maybe if I am already a tax payer in a high tax country, because let's say I love Spain, I like to spend like 6 months a year there, maybe the other 6 months I do like to travel, but it's my home base, I really enjoy it there, so there's probably not much like room to really avoid paying taxes there, at least in a legal way. So what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna set up my business in another country, because with the example of Spain, if I open a business there, I'll have to pay 25% in taxes, or my business has to pay 25% in taxes. So instead of that, I'm just gonna open my business in, let's say, Hong Kong. For those who know, like, or don't know, like, that it's very feasible to just pay 0% in taxes. So on paper, that sounds like a good solution. Instead of 25%, I pay 0%. Now, the reality with that is that there are a few elements that people forget when they come with those kind of strategies. First of all, is you're still a tax resident in Spain, you as an individual. Your company is maybe abroad, but you're still a tax resident in Spain, just an example, a high tax country. And probably, you need some money to survive, right? So you want some income, whether it's on a monthly basis, maybe it's once a year, you get a bag of money to basically cover your living expenses. Now, in general, there's two ways to get the money to you from your company. One is you pay a salary, or two, you pay out a dividend as to the owner of the company. Now, in both those cases, Spain will still come knock on the door and say, okay, but you live here, you receive an income now, so you have to pay taxes on it. So that doesn't always work very well. But you could maybe say, okay, then instead of taking money out or a lot of money out, I'm just gonna take out the minimum just to survive, and all the rest of my money I'm gonna leave in my company, and maybe in the future I'm gonna like take out the money in a more efficient way. Of course, countries also notice that like people try to hide money abroad, or not even hide it, but like put it abroad. Definitely like after the Panama Papers and similar publications like years ago, like countries became way more aware of those kind of constructions. So what they started to do, and what there was already, but what they started to really enforce more, is that they basically gonna say, okay, like it's very nice for you that you once signed some documents to open your company in Hong Kong. Probably you didn't even go there, but maybe you did one like a weekend trip there to open your company. But in reality, and back to my example, you're working from your apartment in Barcelona, you're signing contracts with clients from there, you're doing your day-to-day work, sitting on your desk, maybe even sitting on the beach. And Spain is basically gonna see that, and they're gonna say, okay, but very good for you that you opened your company in Hong Kong, but it seems to us that the majority of the things are actually happening here in Spain. So because of that, you have like a permanent basis of operations in a country, and we're basically gonna ask you to pay your taxes here, or your company has to pay your taxes here. So it's definitely possible for anyone out here to basically open a company almost anywhere in the world, but that doesn't mean that from a tax point of view, you'll get away with not like paying taxes in your home country, or it's just as easy as only setting up that foreign company and be done with it. Now, there are definitely ways where that can work, and there are situations where that could be a good option, but I think most of us probably, they are the key person in their business, and or maybe the only person in their business. And if then you set a business up in one country, but you're actually running it from another country, you might get in trouble with that other country, which also wants to basically get their fair share of taxes from you. So that brings me to the next element, and the next statement that then people make if I tell them the previous one is that they say, okay, but what I'm gonna do then, I'm just gonna set up some tax residency in a low tax country where it's easy to get tax residency, and then I'm set. Then I don't need to worry about all of this. So I think these days, probably you guys also know, like Paraguay is the most popular destination to get your tax residency fixed. And why is it popular? One of the main reasons is that Paraguay is maybe not the most exciting place, but you only have to go there one day a year and fulfill some like administration and formalities to basically have your tax residency done there according to Paraguayan tax legislation. So that sounds great. You just fly one day a year to Paraguay, you set up your tax residency, and then you start living your life again. Now, the problem with that is that people then sometimes think they can do anything the rest of the year, those other 11 months or even more than 11 months. And then I come back to my previous point, is that obviously if you're going to spend just one day in Paraguay, Paraguay will be very happy with that, and you don't even have to pay taxes there with the right setup. But if you're going to spend a lot of time in some other countries, if you're going to like create connections with other countries, those other countries might not really recognize the fact that you actually already set up a tax residency there, and you might even be able to show them you're going to get a certificate that you're a tax resident in Paraguay. But still, those other countries might say, okay, but look, you're living 6 months a year here, or maybe you have a house here, whatever element they can think of, they could basically try to use it and basically say to you, very nice, you go like one day a year to Paraguay, but that's not sufficient if you're actually living here. So we're gonna like charge taxes on you. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that those kind of setups, they are generally very interesting for nomads, especially if you do not really have a home base, or you don't have too many connections with a particular country. You can like very well set up those kind of constructions and tax residency, and that's also why they're so popular. But unfortunately, I see many times people come to me when they already made some of those mistakes we talked about, and they don't really fully understand the requirements for it or the benefits or what they can do and cannot do. So it's always important, okay, it's good that we have those options. Again, as nomads, we have way more options out there to save on taxes than the average individual, but you of course want to understand what the limitations are and what you actually can and cannot do. And then I have another statement I wanted to share with you, and that's basically, I only have to worry about taxes when I earn a lot of money. Now, obviously, if you have the luxury, if I can call it like that, that you are paying like, let's say, 100,000 euros in taxes, compared to someone maybe paying only 10,000 euros in taxes, yeah, obviously, there's more to gain for that person paying like a lot of taxes already, because their potential savings are like way bigger. I think that's fairly obvious for everyone. Now, that doesn't mean that like if you maybe make a bit, little bit less money currently, or you're still growing your business, that you can just like ignore taxes and you can put your head in the sand and just forget about it. It's basically all the same rules apply to all of us, whether you make 10,000 euros, 100,000 euros or a million, it's basically the same principles that apply to you. So I don't think it's as easy to say like, okay, like I don't make a lot of money, so taxes, I can forget about it. For sure, in the past and even still today, if you receive only small payments from clients and stuff, like sometimes like, yeah, it passes through and you can get the money and you won't get like immediately problems. I'm not like promoting to do that, but we can also see that like banks, tax authorities and stuff, they're also catching up. They're also getting digital, maybe a little bit slower than we are, but they're eventually also gonna figure things out. So it might not be your best long-term strategy to just like forget about all of that. And that's basically all of the elements I wanted to share, but I think maybe there might also be some questions out there. Of course, it's like a brief presentation, so we cannot go into all the details. But if you're like interested to learn more, I'm also happy to have a talk with any one of you. Questions?
What would you say is the best way to kind of set up your company if you want to pay as low taxes as possible?
It's a good question, and it's one of the most like common questions I get. And you might not like the answer, but it depends, you know, and taxes is always that like reply, it depends. Why is that? Because I'll go back to the example, for example, to like Paraguay. Let's say if we just stick not about the company setup, but if we stick to the personal tax residency, as you said, Paraguay can be a very good option, but that's only if you're fine with flying to Paraguay each year. If you spend most of your time in Asia or in Europe, yeah, if you have to fly all the way to Paraguay just to be there one day, that might be a lot of hassle and also a lot of costs, just not worth it to set up tax residency there. The same with company setups. It depends where you sometimes have your personal tax residency. If you live in a Western country, or if you're a tax resident, I should say, in a Western country, it's very hard these days to generally set up a company structure abroad without not triggering like any potential like risks in your home country, unless of course you hire employees there or there's a real reason that your business is there. But if the reason is, yeah, the taxes are lower, that might not work out. And I'll maybe give one other example, is that I think there was a period, probably now a little bit less what is going on in the world, but like many people would go to Dubai to set up their company there. They're also like, it's definitely a good solution still, I think, for maybe a company setup or even a personal tax residency. But the reality is also that like Dubai is not cheap to set up a company, to run a company. So if you're making less than, I don't know, 100,000 euros a year, probably there's better solutions for you than like setting up a company in Dubai, because you might even be better off paying like 10% in taxes somewhere, having an easy and clean setup, than like going out of your way to set up a company in Dubai, pay maybe no income taxes, but pay like a lot of fees and everything that comes with it. You have to fly there every 6 months. So it really depends, unfortunately.
Okay, cool.
in the meanwhile, I'll also share my details for anyone who wants to like dive a bit deeper afterwards. Feel free to reach out.
Hi, thank you for the speech. I want to ask you one information. For you, what's the best solution actually for digital nomad that they don't want to make company, they want to stay freelance, and they have revenue around 50,000, 100,000 euros. Because sometimes I read about LLC, you say, but for example, I'm from Italy. Italy is very, very, very difficult country for them. And so I understand that you need also the tax residence. This is very important. So for you, what's the best solution right now?
Well, let me first clarify, because that's maybe also one topic important to touch on. Like, by default, like, you don't necessarily have to have a tax residency, but I'll make an important remark about that, is that if you visit different countries and in none of those countries you actually qualify as a tax resident, that's totally legitimate. Let's get that one out of the way. Again, of course, it depends where you're from. If you're from the US, that's not gonna work. If you're from a country like Italy, you have to register abroad with the IRE, as you maybe know, so it's a little bit harder. But there, like, that's a possibility. But there, it really depends again, like, what is your lifestyle? If you say, like, look, I still like my place in Italy. I like to spend time with family and friends there. I go there, like, maybe even if it's 5 months a year, but it's really my home base. It's gonna be hard to get out of that, like, tax net of Italy. On the contrary, if you say, look, I spend 2 months in Italy in summer, I go 3 months to Da Nang, I go 3 months to Thailand, yeah, then there's way more options out there that you can pick from, because you could basically, with all of those countries that you visit, you could maybe line them up, see, like, how do the taxes work there, and try to see if you can get a tax residency there that benefits you, because you can build some connections with either of them. So it depends where you spend your time. If you, like, spend your time in Europe, that can be something. In Europe, to be fair, although there are always some taxes involved if you have a tax residency in Europe, but if you have a European passport, it's of course easy to get a tax residency there, because you don't have to worry about the visa, because that's another thing that many people forget about. If you want to generally fit in a system somewhere, yeah, the first thing you have to get is, like, a proper visa. Like, it doesn't work to do visa runs and then claim, okay, but I kind of generally live here and I'm a tax resident here, because those folks chat a little bit, but happy to chat after to, like, maybe look into your situation.
We have a question back here.
Hey, Steph. Zola, I think we used to be colleagues together in Belgium, so crazy to see you here. So my question is, and this is something I wondered even as a tax consultant myself, how the fuck do they know how many days somebody is in a country? Like, how do they know it's 183 days?
That's a good point. And I think there we need to distinguish a little bit is between, like, let's say a country like Vietnam, which is, let's say, a country on its own. There's, like, of course, immigration records where they could maybe see if they want to, like, okay, when did you enter, what did you leave, and what does that add up to? Now, it's true that, like, if you're from Europe again, or more specifically from the Schengen area, like, you can basically travel around like you wish. You can be in Spain, you can be in Italy, you can be in Portugal, you can be in Belgium, and they won't necessarily know, like, okay, like, how many days did you do in each country. In those cases, it's mostly that in Europe in general, as we mentioned already, it's more they look at the connections you have with the country. So if you're gonna maybe buy a house somewhere or rent a house, that might trigger them to look into you, rather than, like, spending the amount of time, because as you said, they won't really know automatically. It's only when they have a hinge that maybe you're living there that they might, like, look a little bit closer. Or when they're doing a proper investigation, they might ask you, okay, can you prove that you were not here, or can you share, like, most of the time it's like bank records, bank statements showing that you spent money abroad or in the country. But it's definitely true that, like, there is some flexibility there. I definitely know people who maybe spent more than 6 months in a country, even sometimes a few years in a row, and they don't get caught. As long as you're aware of the risk and you are, like, okay with that risk, feel free to do so, but, like, you need to be aware at least that there might be some potential risks linked to it, but very brief answer, like, depends on the country, but there's no easy way, and there's not always a link between immigration and tax authorities, but it depends on the situation of the country. Do we have that? Finish or time for one
more? One more quick question.
Yeah. I don't know,
Right here, another question.
Hi, thanks for your talk first. I also been like, researching a lot about taxes and all this. I've been a digital nomad for 15 years, so I am a German citizen, but I became a non-resident of Germany 10 years ago. So I registered an LLC in New Mexico, but I spent less than 6 months a year in Thailand. However, I have a DTV, but I do not have any apartment, any rental in Bangkok. And then I would say I spend another less than 180 days in Vietnam and in between in other countries. So because I have the DTV, would you recommend that I get a tax number in Thailand? Or since I don't have any rental in Thailand, is the DTV enough to define me as a tax resident in Thailand? What would you recommend?
So that's an interesting question, because I think we said, like, theoretically, you don't have to have a tax resident as long as you fit in between the gaps, so to speak, of the tax legislation. Now, the reality is, and maybe some of you have encountered it as well, if you don't have a residency or a tax residency, you're going to get issues with banks and with other authorities as well from time to time. So if you're already spending a lot of time in Thailand, close to the 6 months, in Thailand, you trigger tax residency after spending 180 days there, so the threshold is just a little bit different. I think it would be a good option, because in Thailand, they do have quite a favorable tax regime whereby you basically just have to pay taxes on the money you bring into the country. So it all depends a little bit on your lifestyle, on how lavish you live there. If you can live on a budget, that can work. I hear sometimes people do have like issues with getting a proper tax number, but if like with the right people, that should work, and you can pay some taxes there. It's going to be very minimal normally for your income, but at least you're going to have proof of a tax residency somewhere in case it comes up now in the short term, but sometimes also in the long term.
But one question, how do you define money that I bring into the country? If I don't have a bank account in Thailand, is it money I pull from the ATM? Is it card payments? What means money bringing into the country?
It's a gray area in Thailand, in that way that if you would have a bank account, for sure that counts. If you're bringing cash, that in principle also counts, but yeah, who knows how much cash you bring in, right? And apart from that, also if you spend money directly from a foreign debit card, normally all the money you spend there normally also counts. But there, as you said, like, yeah, they wouldn't know. So off the record, I have people who like maybe use one debit card for the income they declare and another they don't. Like, is that the way to go? I wouldn't say so. And again, there's risks attached to that. But I know people like try to figure it out. And because definitely that part of it is like a gray area, like what from expenditure from foreign bank accounts. So I think Thailand specifically for you could be a good option, depends on your income and all of that, just to make sure that you sort out your paperwork, so to speak, because it's always safer to have a tax residency rather than like not have a tax residency at all for various reasons.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, please show